turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to read beginning at chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 10. Follow along in your Bible if you possibly can. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Our subject today is the mercy of God. This is a most blessed aspect of the Lord, and yet it is one that the majority take for granted. God's mercy is abused and disregarded, yet without it, individuals could not exist for one moment. In our study of mercy, we must first set forth the meaning of the term so that all may understand. Now, what is meant by the mercy of God? The mercy of God is the kindness or goodwill of God extended to the sinner because of a desire to help the sinner. Mercy includes pity, compassion, forbearance, and gentleness. Mercy presupposes sin and is acquainted with the miserable condition as well as the affliction of the sinner. And that's why it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. It is mercy extended to all of you now, which is keeping you out of hell and damnation at this very moment. It is mercy which caused you to tune in and hear what you are hearing at this very time. And it is the mercy of God that is making you to think and listen very carefully if that desire or something like that is at all in your heart. As one studies the mercy of God, one is made to see that mercy has certain characteristics to it. These characteristics are very important, as well as listed for us in the Word of God. Take your Bibles now and notice some of the characteristics of God's mercy. First, we see it is great. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, "And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." You see, Solomon recognized the greatness of God's mercy. Secondly, we see that God's mercy is plenteous. Turn in your Bibles again, if you will, to Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5. Where we read these words, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Oh, I wish I could just drive this home to the heart of every individual at this hour. This passage ought to thrill the heart of every believer, and it ought to encourage the heart of every awakened sinner. When we stop and realize how much we sin against God, even as believers in Christ, we rejoice for the reality and experience found in this verse. Listen to it. "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Aren't you glad, my Christian brother and sister, that the Lord is plenteous in mercy as well as ready to forgive? Haven't you made use of this verse over and over again? And yet it never runs out, does it? Truly, the Lord is plenteous in mercy. Now, for those of you who are awakened sinners, the plenteous mercy of the Lord also has a special meaning for you. Look again at the verse where it says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Some of you are fearful, wondering, perhaps disappointed, downcast, discouraged. You wonder if the Lord will ever save you. I urge you, my friend, just go to him and call upon him, because my Lord is ready to forgive and has plenty of mercy for all who call upon him. Listen, take the Lord at his word, act upon his promise, and the result will be just as the Lord has declared. My God is plenteous in mercy, and he is ready to forgive you, my sinner friend, regardless of who you are or what you may have done with your life. The third characteristic of God's mercy is that it is everlasting. Now let me repeat that. The third characteristic of God's mercy is that it is everlasting. When once you are made the recipient of God's mercy, that mercy is yours forever. Now I realize this may stagger some of you, but you listen to the Word of God as it declares these things. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now let me stop right here and ask you a question. Do you know and fear the Lord? Is he real to your heart? Has Christ Jesus become your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior? If so, it is due to one thing. My Lord has had mercy upon you. And not only that, but he continues to have mercy upon you, and he will always have mercy upon you, because his mercy is an everlasting mercy. As we study the mercy of God, we are made to see that there are very various kinds of mercy. Oh, now, Pastor, wait a minute. What are you talking about? There are various kinds of mercy. These kinds of mercy fall into three simple yet profound categories, which are, first, the general mercy of God extended to all. Secondly, the special mercy extended to the children of men. And third, God's sovereign mercy extended to the elect of God. Now hold your seat and let's pay close attention as we go back and review these mercies as they're found in the Word of God. First of all, there is the general mercy extended to all. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 145 and verses 9 and 10, where the Scripture says these things. Listen to it. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Now that's one passage. Now turn to Acts chapter 17 and verses 24 and 5, where we read again. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now these passages tell us that every portion of God's creation is dependent upon the mercy of our Lord. The air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the place of our habitation are given to us because of the mercy of the Lord God of heaven. Even the job that some of you think that you have created yourself and so on and so forth has been given to you because of the mercy of God. If ever a man ought to bow his heart and knee before the Lord, it ought to be at this present hour when we realize how much we are dependent upon the mercy of God. Yet man in return spews out invectives, defiance, and rebellion against the mercy of the Lord God of heaven. The next time you complain, just remember, you receive much more than any one of us deserve, because our just desert is hell and ought to be instead of the mercy of God. And yet our God grants us mercy day by day. The second kind of mercy seen in the Scriptures is the special mercy extended to the children of men. Take your Bibles now again and turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 73 and verses 1 through 9, where we read these words. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Now turn again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5, and look with me at verse 44 and 5, where we read, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." This mercy is the general mercy of God, and it results in the communication of life's necessities as set forth in the verses we have just read. This explains also why some people are allowed to have more than others. But remember one thing. This general mercy is not an everlasting mercy, but it is only a temporal mercy which ends at the grave. Most of you at this hour would be classified as very affluent when we are compared with the rest of the world. I doubt, too, that many of you in the United States of America go to bed hungry like the rest of the world. But I want to tell you right now, my friend, this privilege given to us here in America stems from the special mercy given by the Lord God of heaven to this country at this hour, and we had better learn to appreciate it. You see, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and yet God gives it to us freely and abundantly, and how we ought to praise Him for His mercy at this present hour. Last of all, and for this time, we have the temporal mercy of God revealed. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and look with me at verse 21 through 23, where we read, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Now what do we have here? We have some more of the temporal mercy that's extended to you that are not yet converted and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? This is a temporal mercy, and it's of the Lord's mercies that you're not consumed at this hour, and how great is His faithfulness. Now, what are we driving at? We find very clearly that God's mercies are new every morning. This mercy is extended now to all of you out there who are not yet converted. The justice, the wrath, and the holiness of God cries out for your life. The law of God cries out for your death. And we find very clearly the judgment of God is resting upon you, and yet you seemingly live a normal life, and you sin, as it were, with impunity, and nothing's happened to you at this present hour. My friend, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because of the mercy of the Lord being bestowed upon you at this very moment. You see, you're not yet saved. Some of you are in the going down into the sunset of your life, and you're still not converted, and yet the mercy of God is bestowed upon you. In the morning you arise because of God's mercy. In the evening you retire because of God's mercy, and you're still not saved. Listen, friend, this happens because God's mercy is being extended to you at this hour. But now listen carefully, and listen like you've never listened before. This is not an everlasting mercy, because such mercy, because God's everlasting mercy, comes only by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not yet saved by the blood of Christ, the mercy extended to you at this hour is but a temporal mercy. This mercy ends at death's door. And remember, the Scriptures very clearly says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So therefore, if God's mercy extends to you, and then it ends, is extended to you, and it ends at death's door, my friend, then you better begin to seek for the everlasting mercy to be bestowed upon you. Now, how in the world can that come about? You've got to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door and to knock at your door and to come in and save you with an everlasting salvation. It's of the Lord's mercy that you even hear the gospel. It's of the Lord's mercy that you breathe. It's of the Lord's mercy that you are in a land where the gospel is preached without fear and without persecution. And my friend, These are mercies extended to you, but at the same time, I want to say to you very kindly, they also increase your responsibility. You see, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He's going to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. Now, why do I tell you all this? People today are taking the mercies of God for granted. They seem to think they deserve them. They seem to think also that they can buy them or earn them, or that God is obligated to bestow them upon that individual. But my friend, listen, it doesn't work that way. God has mercy on those whom He will. And remember, the everlasting mercy comes only through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know my Lord at this hour? If not, my friend, then I urge you, you begin to seek Him right there, because the greatest thing that can take place in your life and the best experience you'll ever have this side of eternity is for you and the Lord Jesus Christ to become one and acquainted with each other. You see, the mercy of God is right now upon you. And why? The mercy of God has this design for your life. My Lord has a desire to redeem you. The mercy of God upon you presently will end at death unless you come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Therefore, it is absolutely imperative for you to have a personal, definite, experiential relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. Now, this is more than walking the aisle. This is more than speaking in a gibberish tongue as people are doing today. And this is more than turning over a new leaf, or it's more also than joining the church. You see, it's a revelation. The revelation of Christ. It comes to your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And beloved, when that takes place, you know Christ, and Christ knows you. And when our Lord comes to know you, He has everlasting mercy upon you, and that mercy cannot be taken away. Now in this closing moment, I want to ask you a question. What about it at this hour? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. My prayer and my hope is that you realize that the mercy of God being bestowed upon you, and begin now to ask the Lord to save you from destruction through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's mercy is only everlasting through Christ. So we urge you to do this. You begin to beg Him to open your heart, first of all, and show you your need. You can't go any further until He does. And beg Him also to have mercy upon you. You see, my Lord would delight to save sinners. And my friend, if you're a sinner out there, listen, God's having His mercy bestowed upon you for the purpose of redeeming you with an everlasting salvation. Or if you don't know the Lord, my hope is that something has been said that God will take and stir your heart and cause you to begin to seek Him until you find Him. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.